As you approach this building, carved in the stone on the outside are two dates, 1855 and 1907. In 1854, R.G. Pardee was burdened to start a mission for children here in the Chelsea area. And so he founded with others the Manor Chapel Mission. The communion table up here has a little gold plate in it. It was donated to Manor Chapel in 1895. Soon after 1855, when that mission began, we had the New York Revival, 1857. And I believe with all of my heart that people that were participating in this mission that was seeking to reach out to children were people that prayed during that period. And in 1866, that Manor Chapel became a part of the South Reformed Church. And in the 1880s, that mission touching children reached its peak with 1,000 students attending Sunday school. And it began right around the corner on 9th Avenue and 25th Street. And then in 1907, they purchased the second lot and built this building. And we are sitting in a miracle. New York City, one of the most influential cities in the world. We're sitting in Midtown Manhattan, in an incredible location, able to touch the world. The whole world lives in New York. The whole world visits New York. I say that a walk around the block is a walk around the world. It is indeed a miracle that this space is still here being used for Christian ministry. In the 1940s, as they were preaching the gospel from this very same pulpit, the denomination that they were in said, "We don't preach the gospel anymore." And so they pulled out of that denomination, and the denomination came to them and said, "We own this building." And the congregation did not have the money to purchase this space. And so this church went up for sale. And just before a utility company purchased it, a man by the name of Thomas Little and his organization, which owns it to this day, rescued it from being sold to a utility company. And God spared it. In the 1960s, the International Ladies Garment Workers Union, in cooperation with the City of New York, seized the property between 23rd Street and 29th Street, between 8th Avenue and 9th Avenue. They seized it through eminent domain, and their intention was to tear down all of the slum housing that was here and build Penn South. The community rose up against that. And so as a consolation, the city made a decision that they were going to save two of the churches. Just two. One of those being the Episcopal Church that's over here around the corner on 9th Avenue. And the other being the Roman Catholic Church right over here. But this one was going to disappear. And the Greek Orthodox Church was going to disappear. And Thomas Little began to fight City Hall. They had an incredible ministry with the children. World War II, they had opened up this building to World War II soldiers. We have articles that 11,000 different World War II soldiers slept in the basement of this building. Now, not all at the same time, okay? 100 at a time. Beautiful shower room down there, a kitchen down there. They'd fix them a hot breakfast, let them spend the night. They would give them postcards, tell them to write Mom and Dad. Invited them to the services. So there'd been a lot of outreach in the community, and so Thomas Little began to fight the city of New York. And he won. And God spared this building again. Actually, so much pressure was put on the developer when they desired to only save two churches, they wound up saving four. And the fourth church was the Greek Orthodox Church around the corner. 10 22-story buildings surrounding this church with 2,820 units in all of these buildings. Thousands of people within a stone's throw of this space. Spared in the 1940s. Spared in the 1960s. In the 1970s, 1973, some war protesters came to the church and said, "We'd like to stage a protest here at your building." And they said no. So they went around the corner to the Greek Orthodox Church and they said, "We'd like to stage a protest in your building." They said no. So they came back and they firebombed, war protesters, firebombed the Greek Orthodox Church and this building. They threw those I can't ever say that word right. Molotov, what? Thank you. And they weren't drinking it either. They lit it on fire and threw it through the windows in this balcony room, seeking to burn it down. The fire department could not save the Greek Orthodox Church. But the Lord spared this space again, and it was saved. Matter of fact, you can look up, and there's still some black smoke damage up here at the top of these openings. I don't know if I'll ever paint over them. Just leave them there to remind me of how the Lord has spared this historic space in Midtown Manhattan. When Thomas Little died, his widow remained here in the building, and God used her in an incredible way to spare this space. She was a widow indeed. She had no children. Very poor. She had developers come and offer her money for this space. The church had really dwindled down to just a handful of people. She has needs, a widow indeed. What will she do? She refused to sell. She was offered $20 million for just the land. And she was offered $1 million underneath the table if she had agreed to sell. Now, she was an officer, so it was illegal. And the other officer, who is the retired pastor of Manor right now, was offered $2 million under the table. And they turned it down. She used to clean the gutters in this building in her early 90s. Matter of fact, she was up on the top of this building and standing up there getting ready to scoot down into a little valley area, and people saw her up there and called the fire department. Spared in the 1940s, spared in the 1960s, spared in the 1970s, spared in the 2000s. And in the kind providence of God, in the year 2004, my family and I moved to New York City with the New York Gospel Ministries with a great desire to preach the message of the imputation of the righteousness of Christ to the nations of the world. And He brought us in contact with a mission on the other side of town, Covenant Mercy Mission, one of the oldest outreach missions to Jewish people in Manhattan. Started in 1895. And they needed someone to help reopen it. And the Lord brought the New York Gospel Ministries and the Covenant Mercy Mission together. And we began to do outreach. New York Gospel Mission's passion in preaching the gospel of righteousness was to host mission teams. And so we had mission teams that would come and spend a week with us. And we'd get sound permits and go out in the open air. You could get a sound permit and be in Times Square, the heart of Times Square, and preach the gospel of God and sing and pass out gospel tracts. And so we had locations all around the city, and these mission teams would come and we would preach and sing and distribute gospel literature. We had an intern program where we would invite young men studying for ministry to come to the city and participate with us. In 2011, the Covenant Mercy Mission began a relationship with local Trader Joe's stores here in the city. We'd had a couple in our church that said, you know, there's a tsunami in the city. It was right after the tsunami hit in Indonesia. And I said, well, what are you talking about? They said, there are people here in the city that can't afford to buy food. And I was a little skeptical. And they said, can we start a beneficial deed ministry using food to help poor people and elderly people here in the city? Well, a little reluctantly, I agreed to do it. But then God began to touch my heart with a text that's found in Isaiah chapter 58, where God says that the fast that He's looking for is a fast that opens the home to the homeless, provides food for the hungry, and clothes for the naked. When we began that ministry, it was on the last Tuesday of the month of January in the dead of winter. And we were going to have one distribution a week with a gospel service connected to it. It was to start at 12 noon. At 9:30, I had some people say, Pastor, you need to go out into the park across the street. We went out in the park, and here by 9:30, 2.5 hours before we're going to open the door in the dead of winter, were elderly people. One man was in a wheelchair. Another lady was with a walker. And God broke my heart. And I said, if they're in such need that they're going to come in and wait for 2.5 hours to come in and get a few apples and a few loaves of bread, they must have a need. And that's how the Covenant Mercy Beneficial Deed Ministry began. And they started collecting this food from Trader Joe's. Matter of fact, just last year, they donated nearly $3 million retail to the Covenant Mercy Mission. And those distributions increased. And to this day, we have 5 distributions every single week. We have 3 on Wednesday and 2 on Saturday. And every one of those distributions has a evangelistic service connected to it. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 17, 18, and 19, God says that I'm the God of God and the Lord of lords. I don't respect people, but He says, I do show my love by giving food and clothes. And that's why Jesus said, don't be anxious about what you will what? Eat or wear, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. And that's why the half-brother of Christ, James, says that your religion is worthless if you can tell someone to be what? Warmed and filled. And I started to see these texts in the New Testament. The Lord began to just touch my heart. You know, we love that verse, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, right? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We've memorized that verse, right? But what does the next verse say? But we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works, beneficial deeds. I began to see these things. I said, Lord, You are a God who is good. And You have met our most pressing need in the gospel of Your Son. And You have told us in Your book to do good to what? All men, especially the household of the faith. Have we as preachers ever carefully gone through the little book that Paul wrote to Titus and looked for all of the references to beneficial deeds? We'll discover if we read it very carefully that in chapter 1 and verse 8 it tells us that we're supposed to be a lover of good. He tells us in chapter 2, verses 13 through 15, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession. But listen to the next phrase. Who are zealous for beneficial deeds. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. So we as preachers, it might not be food or clothes, but God is telling us in His book that with all authority, with no one disregarding us, we are to understand that the people of God are to be zealous for beneficial deeds. In chapter 3 and verse 1, remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every beneficial deed. And then he tells us in chapter 3 and verse 8, this is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things I want you to speak confidently, so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in beneficial deeds. For these things are good and profitable for men. And he closes out the book by saying this in chapter 3 and verse 14. Our people must also learn to engage in beneficial deeds to meet pressing needs so that they will not be unfruitful. And in the kind goodness of God, He's given us access to space in Midtown Manhattan where we can throw open the doors and invite men and women to come into this space who are desperately in need of help getting food, the sustenance of life. And in the past 12 months, we have to register people for this beneficial deed ministry. And 3,000 different people received help in this space. And 97%+ sat where you're seated right now and hear the gospel. Between 350 and 400 different people every week come through these five services. We have one in Chinese, we have one in Spanish, and we have three in English. And we're working with sermon audio. Different preachers. I don't speak Chinese, don't speak Spanish, hard enough to speak English. But we use video sermons from a Chinese pastor in Texas, from a Spanish missionary in Mexico. We'd love to start more language services. We'd love to have one in Korean. We've got a Korean pastor now who comes every Wednesday. He's with the Free Reformed Church. He's going to, Lord willing, start a church here in New York area if God opens the door for him. We have people that speak Russian that want to have a Russian service. So the sky's the limit. We're grateful for the ministry opportunities of the city. We're grateful for access to this space. The New York Gospel Ministries has a home in here now. The Covenant Mercy Mission has a home in here now. And not too long ago, the Lord put four of our people on a 7-person board that owns this space. And now the stewardship belongs to us. So we invite you, send a mission team. Come spend a week with us, preaching in the open air, singing in the open air. Come spend a week with us,
preaching the gospel in these language services and then sharing with the elderly and the poor God's gracious provision. And it's from these services, the English services, that we've had an opportunity to invite people to come now to the Manor Community Church. They invited us to become a part of Manor in 2015 to reopen, to revitalize the Manor Community Church. And most all of our congregants now are coming, having heard the gospel and the Word of God in these evangelistic services. Will you pray for us? Will you send a team? And then will you help us financially if the Lord lays it on your heart? It is expensive to have ministry in New York, but the opportunity is great. So thanks for coming. You're most welcome here in this great historic space. Lord bless you.